So good to be here again, and we are continuing with our series on parenting. And again, I'll just say that though several, as I look out, I'm seeing several us, since we're together, are beyond that moment by moment, day by day parenting stage, but that we will never not be parents as long as we're that's a kind of a double negative. We will always be parents, and certainly the principles, particularly in this lesson, apply to you as you deal with life, go through life, deal with life, no matter who you interact with, because it talks about how you were parented and potentially the faces that you have put on God and His parenting of you. So it goes both ways here. We're looking at not only some principles of the day-to-day parenting throes, but we're also looking at the effects that our parents had on us and how that has affected our view of God. And whatever our view of God is will impact, will affect our view and our handling of others. So if you want to turn to page 28 in your workbooks, that's the diagram page there that you can take some notes and draw along with me. Page 28 in your books, or you can do it in your bulletin folder. The key verse this morning, there we go. 1 John 3:1, see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children. He didn't have to have kids, right? He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to put us here. He didn't have to be in relationship with us, especially those of us, such as myself. I won't speak for anybody else, but especially those of us who rebel against Him, who don't follow His ways. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children. And much like parenting today, you know, our parents didn't have to have us. Now we can say that some, you know, there's a whole array of circumstances of why people have had children and all of that. But clearly we know that God the Father, God Himself, did not have to have us. But it's because of His love that He did. So this chapter is about love, and it's about the particular expression of love called acceptance. And really this is what the whole thing is about, is acceptance. And the reality is that we generally will do anything to be accepted. We may not realize it. We may not know to what lengths we're going to. But we need to be accepted. It's a God-given need. We need to be accepted. The trouble is we don't accept God's acceptance of us. We don't realize it, we don't believe it, we don't receive it, we don't take it in, because His acceptance of us is complete. But because we don't take it in, we don't receive His acceptance, we look for it, and we do crazy things. This is where you get into people who, you know, who join gangs. It's for acceptance. Those who get into promiscuous lifestyles, it's for acceptance. Those who do just, you know, the thought just came. I don't know if I can't remember if I've told my kids this or not, but the thought came as I was sitting here of one of those crazy times for me growing up. I always wanted, I kind of searched and strived for the acceptance of one of my brothers. He was a big, tough guy, and he was very strong, and I wanted to, you know, in a sense, be like him, but certainly be accepted by him. And one day, but we were different. I was in Boy Scouts, and he was not. And he didn't think very highly of those who would choose such a path. And if you can imagine where I'm going with this. And so one day, our mom asks, she's busy, and she asks him to take me to Boy Scouts. And there's a double whammy here, because number one, it's Boy Scouts, and number two, they meet in a church. And he didn't like that very much either at all. The third whammy was that he was with his friends. So he's 17, 18, and probably 17, and he's got his friends. They're in this Jeep, and now they have this task of taking the little brother to Boy Scouts in a church. And so they're going down the road. We come near, going down the road, turn on the side street, and he says, "Get out."
I knew that was dumb.
And, you know, I mean, I've slept a few times since then, but, I mean, they didn't slow down. So I don't know if they were going 20 or 30. I don't know what they were going. But he's, "Get out. We're here. Get out." Now, you have to understand, I wanted to be accepted. I jumped out. Bloodied both my knees. You know, I did not fall. I didn't go to Wilmer School of how to fall. You know, that came later. So I didn't fall well, bloodied both my knees, but I just got up and kept walking. Didn't let them see a thing because I wanted acceptance. Didn't seem to work, but it was a stab at it. You know, it was a stab at it. But that's just a personal story of, you know, we really will. You know, I want you to think about, what have you done? What lengths have you gone to for acceptance? Because that's really what this is about. But it's about how I want you to see the contrasting pictures of how parenting styles impact the level of acceptance received. And that then kind of, we tend to put that face that we see from our parents onto God. Okay? So we're going to draw this grid again of the different parenting styles. So on your sheet, draw a little quadrant there. Okay? And begin to maybe recall the different parenting styles that we talked about last week. But we're going to put faces to it. So this is the faces of parenting. Faces of parenting. So if you in the parenting that you've done or the parenting that you've received, you may have this image in your mind: a parent who has rules but trains you and encourages you along the way. They don't always like what you do, but you always felt loved. You may not have felt loved immediately, right? If they're training you in what you're supposed to do and you're being corrected or directed, you may not have felt love immediately, but you knew it was there in that environment. And so in this first one, I want you to draw pretty much a happy face. Now, none of these pictures have noses. We just don't, you know, we have a bias against noses, so we're just leaving them out. But this maybe is what your parent, what your children have seen. And this is maybe what you saw as you grew up. And I want you to think about what it looked like. Now, this second one, okay, this parent accepts you but looks the other way, okay, when you exercise bad behavior. They accept what they accept you, but they don't hold you accountable, okay? So we kind of have this one looking away, okay? And, of course, they're still smiling because they're – This is an environment where they accept you, love you, but they're not holding you accountable. Okay, the third one, third face, we're just gonna kind of leave like that. Okay, this one has either abandoned you or was never really around. They don't provide support, love, or training or discipline. You can just leave it like that, or you can write these words in here. It just seemed like they weren't around, were not present. Now, the reality is that we talked about last week, this person could be physically there, but they're not mentally there. They're not emotionally there. Okay. And then lastly, the parent, the way that your children have perceived may look like this, this last one, or the way you were parented may have looked like this. And that is that you can never live up to their expectations. They may be very overly protective, never provide opportunities for you to make any decisions or fail. Either way, you do not feel accepted. So, of course, this parent has eyes, but they're just mad. Certainly could be sad, sad, mad. They're not happy, okay? So as we go through, what I'd like you to do is mark the one that depicts actually how you viewed your father, okay? And your mother, you know, we'll do both, but generally, we see that a child's view of their father is reflected on to their view of their heavenly father. Now, this is not always true, okay, but it's a generalization. However, and I'll share in my case, let me get some names on here first, okay, and then I'll share how it looked like for me. So the parent-child relationship directly impacts your relationship with God, okay? If you see God as effective, you can write that word in there. If you see God as effective, then you see, you know, He loves you for who you are, not for what you do, okay? You recognize that because you're His child, He's going to correct you when you make bad choices. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes those He accepts as His children." Okay? So you may see God as effective. He both directs and corrects, but he also does that in a sea of love. Okay? Or you may see Him as permissive, based on how you were parented. You may believe that He loves you, but you don't really think He cares about your disobedience. It's just not really, He's not paying attention. You basically hope that all of your poor choices in every area of life won't really catch up to you. You're just really not paying attention to them. You're hoping that they just won't really bring negative consequences. Hebrews 12:8, however, says, "If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children after all." Okay? Or you might see God as neglectful, as a reflection of how you were parented. Okay? You may ask things like, "Where was God when I needed Him? He's too busy running the universe to take time to deal with my problems or needs. Is He even real?" Matthew 10:29-31 says, "Not even a sparrow worth only half a penny can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. The very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to Him than a whole flock of sparrows." All right? And lastly, you may see God as controlling. And now you see these are the four styles we put up last week, okay, depending on the levels of acceptance and accountability. You may basically think that He's angry with you, that He, you have thought things like, "I'll never measure up. He's ready to hit me the minute I fail. He's going to ask me to go where I don't want to go. He's going to ask me to do what I don't want to do." Romans 8:15-16, however, says, "So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children." All right. So we want to not only identify where we have put God, and this is not to, of course, we're going to pull out the now, you know, overused phrase. We don't want to put God in a box, into a little grid square here. However, it is true that generally speaking, this we have one of these faces on God. Now, it may not be all the time. Certainly, I could say that I have seen, you know, I have probably put all of these faces on Him at one time or another. But when I look back and reflect on how what my experience was growing up, again, looking at that and saying that isn't everything, right? The way you were parented is not the sum total of how you will turn out to be, but it is a significant ingredient, okay? And that being said, for me, as I went through this, actually I had to, I had the privilege of teaching this lesson on tape, so that all would see and hear what I was going to say, whoever chose to watch this tape. And in thinking about that, I realized that I'm going to identify what I thought, you know, what my perception was of my parents, that this was going to be on tape. And just thinking about that made me start to internally sweat. Okay? I'm like, oh, man. So I had to make the phone call to have this conversation to be able to speak on tape with integrity, Otherwise, I can't say what I'm about to say. So I build up this, I have this massive argument, this whole discourse laid out in my mind, this whole thing, and I lay out the whole, I finally call my dad, I called my dad first, and I don't know if I did or not, but I laid it out to him, and he says, with not even a blink, "Oh, you mean you put me here?" "Yeah." So then I call my mom, and I had this massive, thing laid out. All these words and all that, and she, same thing. "Oh, Eric, you mean how I was really controlling?" "Yeah." So for me, because in terms of impact on the earthly father and the connection to the heavenly father, and we'll wrap this up. For me, because this was true of my father, in that absence, it was replaced with this. So really, for me, this was my view of God. Now, I hope it's not my view today, but it is a default view. It's there. It's back there. Okay? Thinking that I can never do right. I can never do enough. I can never quite measure up. Okay? And this is a wrong view of God. That's not the correct view. But we tend to take these views on based on how we were treated. And how we were treated can become a reflection of how we view God, and then that is how we tend to treat others. Now, this can go either way as well, okay? We can make a vow and say, "I'll never be like," right? And then generally speaking, we become just like them. Or sometimes we know of people who swing the pendulum and say, "Well, if this was my experience, then it's going to become this," and it swings too far. Or if this was their experience, they say, "I'm never going to be like," then it swings and it comes to this, or vice versa. So the crux of this is to see the face that you've put on God from the way you were parented, and then be open and honest and vulnerable enough to talk to your children, whether they're 50 years old or 5, and say, "How do you view me? How what has your perception, what has your view been of me?" So we want to look at both sides, how I was parented and how I am either parenting now or how I parented, to give a view, to give an idea of where we're at. Okay, this whole lesson is called Acceptance First. We're going to talk about accountability in a couple of weeks. Next week is Easter. We'll take a little intermission and have an Easter message, but after that it'll be accountability. So that's coming. But the biggest thing, the biggest ingredient in parenting that we need is acceptance. Everybody's looking for it. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. And so if this is my tendency, then I'm doing pretty well on the acceptance side of things. But I need to balance it out with some accountability. But if this is my side, then I need to give healthier and healthier, larger and larger doses of acceptance. Because here's the deal. People do crazy things for acceptance. If your kids, no matter where they are, or those around you are not, and this is, if I'm speaking to anybody, I'm speaking to me. If they don't get acceptance, they're going to go somewhere else and find it. To find it. We know they're not going to find it apart from God. But if they don't have if we don't build an environment for them to be accepted with us, they will go searching. And they'll do crazy things like jump out of jeeps and join gangs and go into promiscuous lifestyles and whatever it is, everybody they're going to go because we need to be accepted. And yet, the Lord has given us all of it. He has given us everything we need. He has given us all the acceptance we could ever have. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. We didn't correct anything. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He has given us everything we need. Romans 5, 8 again in a different translation. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your acceptance. Thank you for giving us everything we need. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy. Father, help us to accept your acceptance, to receive your acceptance, to agree with you, to join in on the acceptance you've given us so that we will stop searching elsewhere. Help us to receive that acceptance so that we can give that acceptance as you have so freely given to us. Thank you for being the perfect parent. And may we model your love, your acceptance in our relationships with others. In Jesus' name. Amen.